Good evening, good evening. Welcome. Come on in to ATOP, our Monday Manna Bible study.
Hope everyone is having a great day, or had a great day, and you're at home relaxing or en route, and that you're preparing for what yet lies ahead for you this day. Of course, this is indeed the day the Lord has made, and we're determined to rejoice and be glad in it. And so here it is, the 24th day of January.
That it is.
And I tell you, this month is rapidly moving on out, isn't it?
It is.
It doesn't seem like just about 3 weeks ago, we were celebrating Christmas and New Year's, and then we ran into some inclement weather. But here we are. God has sustained us, and we're in the midst of celebrating our 22nd church anniversary. Happy birthday, ATOP.
Happy birthday, ATOP.
And so we're excited about that. I tell you, we had a full day on yesterday.
A good day.
And yes. God showed up and he showed out.
Yes, he
showed
did.
Himself strong on our behalf. Let us know the sound is coming in clear and that you can hear us. And we praise God for each of you tonight. Of course, we're going to go ahead and get started. We're in the fourth chapter of Joshua, a very interesting passage, chapter in the Bible. And there's some intrigue here, Lady Kim. I don't know if everyone was able to pick it up, but we're going to see if we can't get someone to tell us what this intrigue is all about here without us giving it all away. You looking at me kind of surprised there when I said that.
No, I was just listening.
Okay. Did you find the intrigue in this particular chapter?
I'm not
chapter?
Sure what you're talking about.
Okay. Okay. Well, it's kind of obvious. It sticks right out. It blurs out at you, but we'll see if anybody else recognizes it. And then it's very, 24 verses?
24 verses.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so we're going to go ahead and get started with a word of prayer. And then we'll do a little recap from yesterday. And I see your mind is still thinking about what I just said, but it'll come to you.
I think I know what it is, but I never know what's on your mind.
Okay. Well, what do you think it is? Well, let's have a prayer, and then we'll get to that in a minute. All right? Mm-hmm. Let's pray. Father, we bless you, and we honor you, and we do thank you for this day.
Yes,
we thank you for our lives and for your Spirit's abiding presence. We pray your blessings to be upon us, even as we engage in this study together tonight. We're grateful for how you sustained us all day long, all week long, all month long, and here we are ready to receive what you have for us today.
Mm-hmm.
So God, we pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and praise
Amen.
God.
Praise.
All right. So we're in the fourth chapter of Joshua. But before we go there, we want to talk a little bit about the exciting time that we had in worship on yesterday. I think a lot of people made it back after the snow Sunday, and we had a real good in-person attendance, and we had a strong online presence. But I think a lot of it also, Lady Kim, had to do with the fact that the First Lady was up standing tall and preaching, and my, did not she preach, did not she pour out of her heart, and did not she bless the house? And we know that God is well pleased, and the people were fed, and we had a powerful time in the Lord at our 9:45 service. And the title of your message was, It's Time for a Change.
It's time for a change.
It's time for a change. We have been talking about change and talking about preparing for the harvest, and you kind of summed it all up, Lady Kim, and said that, well, I heard what Pastor Burry said. I heard what Dr. Holmes said. But if you put all of that in a nutshell, it's really talking about change. Would you agree with me on
yes,
that?
Yes, sir.
All right. I'm not going to let you do the whole lesson tonight, but you can just kind of fill in. I know the Lord's been speaking to you today. You had 3 points that were very critical about if we expect for change to happen, then we have to change our strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And then you said, I believe you, our location mm-hmm. and our attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
That's correct.
And you looked at that scripture in Luke, the 5th chapter, in verses 1 through 7. That's that nevertheless passage where Peter was in dialogue with Jesus. Mm-hmm. Was it Peter? He was on Peter's boat.
Simon Peter,
yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And he was in dialogue, and there was a very difficult situation. They had been out all night, and Jesus appears, and he tells them, look, I need you to try something different. I need you to change your strategy. Because mm-hmm. they had caught nothing, and they were weary, they were wet, they were worn. And so Peter could have been resistant. You talked about, what did you call it?
Resistant forces.
Resistant forces. That mm-hmm. that could have very easily been a point in this particular sermon.
I just couldn't make it fit in because I had to change strategies, change location, change your attitude, and then I had resistant forces. So it just kind of stood out there
by itself.
So I couldn't, but
it came in, and
yes.
It had its hand up like that through the whole sermon and say, I got something I need to say.
Yes.
And it did. And so that was powerful. But what do you want to tell us about something that you want us to hang our hat on from your sermon on yesterday?
Well, I think I kind of said it all yesterday. But, you know, when it talked about change of strategy, a lot of times we try to continue to do the same thing mm-hmm. and expect a different result.
Okay.
And you can't continue to do the same thing and expect to get something different. You're just going to get the same thing you've been getting.
Okay.
So you have to change your strategy. So not only change your strategy, but sometimes it calls for changing your location.
Okay.
You know, you need to move from where you are to an unfamiliar place. Mm-hmm. And moving to an unfamiliar place causes discomfort a lot of times because you don't know what to expect. But it's not until you push out or launch out into the deep, as Simon obeyed Jesus's command, that he was able to receive his blessing. So sometimes you have to move or change location. And then you have to change your attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we have an attitude, I'm not going to do that. You know, I tried that before, but I talked about timing also. Maybe it wasn't the right time,
right.
You know, so it's, try it again. You know, it might be the right time this time, or, make sure that you do it with prayer and fasting in mind. You know, mm-hmm. I talked about Jesus being on board.
That's it.
The second time, you know. So
when he's on board, it makes all of the difference.
It makes makes a world of difference. Yes.
Okay. That's powerful, and that sermon, I tell you, really resonated with the people, and it captured the theme in terms of us looking for an abundant harvest. And so people have to get it in their mind and their spirit that a change has to happen if they expect to receive what God has for them and what he has in store for us as a people.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in the men's meeting on Sunday, and we talked about something similar, but it's really just a change, talking about change.
Mm-hmm.
And I challenged them with this particular saying, a change of pace, a change of place equals a change of perspective.
Mm.
And so that's pretty much what you were saying in that sermon as well, because Peter and the rest of the fellas, they had to change their pace. They were going at a rapid pace. They were settling in. They were getting ready to rest for the night. And fishing was at night was the best time for them to do that. But they had to switch it up, and they had to be obedient. That was overriding, just a looming factor in this whole process as well. And then the place, the location, same thing. And the perspective has to do with attitude. And so powerful, very powerful, poignant word. Any comments there, Lady Kim? I see a couple of people were saying a few things.
No. Not really.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Very powerful. Somebody said that's worthy. That's worthy of saying. And then on Sunday afternoon, we continued our celebration with Pastor Gus Laurie from Trinity Christian Church, and several of his members came for a 3:00 service. We normally don't have afternoon services.
No, but it was a great service. I really enjoyed it.
Okay, we'll continue. Go ahead. You just broke on in there. Don't finish telling me about what you enjoyed.
No, I was just saying my enjoyment.
Yeah, it was a great service. It was a timely service as well.
Mm-hmm.
And Pastor Gus really spoke to us in a very timely fashion. He put it in a capsule, if you will, and talked about the principles of the harvest and how important it is for us, after looking back over what the Lord has already done, for us to stay humble. And he said we need to continue to aim for excellence. And he spoke about the excellence that he had seen. And many times, I think, Lady Kim, when you see a congregation with a momentum and a desire to please God, sometimes it can be frustrating for the people who are involved in that. But an outsider can see the results sometimes quicker than those who are going through the process on a regular basis. And so he came in and said what he had observed, and he classified it as excellence. Mm-hmm. And so I think a lot of times people, when they are working with the vision and they're working as part of the mission and trying to make ministry become alive, mm-hmm, and relevant, they don't see the excellence in terms of what the leader might be trying to get them to see. And sometimes people see it as a heavy weight, you know, and as something that's just kind of, well, we don't have to do all of that. And so I've observed that even in our own congregation, because it's a priority for me and for a lot of the people. But for others, it's just something that happens. They don't see the significance and the importance of being in proper protocol, doing things decently and in order, following the mandate of the man of God as God directs me and directs the people. And some people don't see an urgency or a sense of really wanting to get on board, but other people can catch it quickly. Mm-hmm. Other visitors can catch it. Visitors see from a different perspective what we might see from being around it all the time.
Mm-hmm. And I think what you just said is key. You know, we're so used to it. Now it's, you know, business as usual for us.
Right.
But
right.
They see it, you know, in a different perspective.
That's right. That's
you
right.
You know, and so, you know that old saying, you don't miss your water till the well runs dry, kind mm-hmm. of, you know, phenomenon. You know, we don't really see it because we're right there with it, you know. But once others from the outside identify, you can say, yeah, we do that, and that is good,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
you know. And so that's what Pastor Gus brought out, that what we do is good work at Anointed Temple of Praise.
Well, he classified it as excellence, and so we need to continue to aim toward excellence. I don't want to degrade that at all, because mm-hmm. I believe that we ought to serve God with excellence, and that we ought to do for God as we do unto man, mm-hmm. because God has been so good to us,
yes,
and
he
deserves our best. He deserves our very best. He mm-hmm. deserves us to use our gifts in a way that brings glory and honor to his name. And we need to strive towards excellence when we present our plans and when we do things in the house of the Lord. That's what I believe, and that's what I've been taught. And sometimes people see it as a hindrance, as a weight, but that's the way it's going to be. And I believe God is pleased with that. But he also talked about how we have to discern the steps, and then we have to remember our first love.
Mm-hmm.
And so that whole discernment piece, really, he could have sat there for 5-10 minutes, because we have to be wise in this season particularly, and we have to really observe what God is saying, and we have to be in line with God's word. And as a result of fasting and praying, it gives us clearer direction, and it gives us a clearer sense of purpose when we're trying to please God. So we have to discern the times that we're in and understand there are many voices that's out there trying to get our attention.
Mm-hmm.
But when we are consistent in our disciplines, I believe we're able to discern God's voice in the midst of all of the other things that's happening.
Amen. Amen.
Remember your first love.
Yes.
Yeah. And so that was a powerful time, a powerful day. And I think God is going to be pleased with our efforts for this anniversary. And on Sunday, we have Timothy coming back, and he was there at the service on yesterday afternoon. Pastor Marquise McPherson, and he'll be sharing. He's bringing his people with him, the New Bethel Baptist Church here in Memphis, and we're looking forward for that to happen at our 9:45 worship experience on this coming Sunday. All right. Well, anything else you want to add, Lady Kim?
No, I think we've covered it well.
Okay. Any comments there?
Just amen, Pastor.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, we're in the fourth chapter of Joshua. Hope y'all had an opportunity to read this. I was sharing before we got started doing our just visiting the sermon and the experience from yesterday, that there are a couple of things here that's really kind of intriguing, and you have to really dive in deep to see it. You said you had a pretty good idea of what you thought it might be. And
Well, you said it was kind of obvious, so mm-hmm. I just took the obvious.
Okay, mm-hmm. So what you want? You ready to share that now, or you want to wait?
Would you like for me to share it now?
If you want to share it
now. I thought you said you were going to give somebody else a chance.
I am.
If I say it now, then...
Well, that might not be what I saw.
Oh, okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I was talking about them, going... God parting the Jordan River.
Okay.
And then going over, just like he parted the Red Sea for Moses, mm-hmm. for the children of Israel to go through, he now parts the Jordan River for
okay.
them to walk over into Jericho
okay.
On dry land.
So the intrigue, I'm sorry.
So the intrigue mm-hmm. is that, God did it once and he'll do it again.
Okay.
I don't know if that's what you were referring to.
Well, that's good. No, that wasn't what I was referring to, but that's good right there. And it's not like one of those and we're going to read it and we'll see if it comes out. If not, I won't even go into that door, because it's something that I may have seen that other people may
well,
not
we would
have
love
seen.
To
I know you would, but see, that's left up to me to reveal that.
Right.
If I feel that the Lord wants me to reveal it tonight. All right. So anybody said anything about?
No.
You didn't see that passage in there about? Okay. Well, we'll get to it. We're going to read this whole 24 verses, and then we'll come back, and then hopefully it'll be even more obvious after we read it.
Okay.
That's not to say we haven't read it already. All right. Let's go. You mind reading for us tonight, Lady Kim?
How many verses?
Well, we can read. It's 24. Let's read the first 12.
Okay.
And then we'll read the last 12 and just kind of share some thought and comment. We're in Joshua, the fourth chapter. Good to see each of you on as we are getting ready to dive into this fourth chapter and see what God is saying to us.
Amen. The fourth chapter of the book of Joshua. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan,
mm-hmm.
from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you. Just put them down at the place where you stay tonight."
Okay.
So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever."
Okay.
So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua. And they carried them over with them to their camp, where they put them down. Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood. And they are there to this day.
Okay. That was verse number
9.
All right.
Now the priest who carried the Ark remained standing in the middle of the Jordan till everything the Lord had commanded Joshua was done by the people, just as Moses had directed Joshua. The people hurried over, and as soon as all of them had crossed, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and the priests came to the other side while the people watched. The men of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh crossed over, ready for battle, in front of the Israelites as Moses had directed them. About 40,000 armed for battle crossed over before the Lord to the plains of Jericho for war. That was through 13. You told me to stop at 12.
Okay. All right. So this is set in the tone. I'm thinking about these stones, and that's mm-hmm. part of what I was going to share. But this is set in the tone for them, of course, continuing their pilgrimage, crossing over. And they had some very strategic things that they had to do in terms of following the mandate that God had given Joshua.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a lot here that has to do with obedience. And we talked a little bit about that last week, about how obedience brings the reward.
Mm-hmm.
And many times people want to get around going through the proper protocol and doing things in a decent order in the way that God would have them to do it. And that's details are all out in this particular passage of scripture in terms of what they had to do in order for God to release what he wanted to release in their presence.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They had to follow what Moses told Joshua to do. Moses told Joshua to do a particular thing. God told Moses. Moses told Joshua.
Mm-hmm.
And Joshua carried it through, because it mentioned it several times throughout the passage that this is what Moses said to do.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see how God really lifted up Joshua and mm-hmm. and sealed the deal mm-hmm. after Joshua followed the mandate that he had received from Moses.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
The people really respected Moses. And so we're going to see here that respect being passed on to Joshua.
Okay. All right. And so the promise had already been established. God is really making sure that the people see the same strength and the same power mm-hmm. that was exhibited in Moses mm-hmm. and how he's relying on his servant Joshua to really do the same thing. I think part of the title for this fourth chapter, in the fourth chapter of Joshua, for those of you who just joined us, has to do with consecration, crossing, and memorial stones.
Mm-hmm.
Consecration, crossing, and memorial stones. So there's a process there that has to happen in order for you to get to where God is trying to take you. And I think the next portion of that, it says 12 stones from the Jordan are set up at Gilgal as a remembrance of the miraculous crossing, the miracle crossing, the miraculous crossing of the Jordan. And Joshua also sets up 12 stones within Jordan itself.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the intrigue, the portion that we were really trying to bring out of that, because it was two separate setting ups. And he left 12 in the Jordan, but he also set up 12 as a memorial when they got to Gilgal. And a lot of times people think it's just that one 12 set up, but it's a 2-12 set up. And so that was what I was really trying to get at. But it's digging deeper and seeing how that becomes apparent even as we read these next few verses here in this fourth chapter of Joshua. Any comments?
No, there was one interesting one, that the River of Jordan was the question of the day on 95.7 today.
Is that right?
So those of you who have been in Bible study, if you were quick-fingered, you probably could have gotten the prize.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So that was the answer for the question?
I don't know. I didn't hear it. Sister Antoinette said that was the question of the day.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. All right. So we left off at verse number 13.
Yes.
Anything else you want to lift up out of those 12, 13 verses before you read the remaining verses here in this fourth chapter?
No, not right now.
Okay.
just that they were obedient and they did exactly what they were told.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And I can just imagine if one person had been disobedient and done their own thing, the outcome would have been different.
That's right. That's
and you know, it's hard to get a group of people on one accord.
That's right. That's right.
You know, it's always some knucklehead in the crowd that doesn't want to do what's right, you know. But they were all on one accord, and they all followed Joshua's command and did exactly what Joshua told them to do.
And that's the theme throughout, in order to get what God wants you to have, you know, that obedience. Because if one person decides they're going to do just the opposite, it's almost like a domino effect.
That's right.
You know, how that one domino could make the whole, all the rest of them, when you're stacking them up, make them fall.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's similar to that. But we're in Joshua 4, and Lady Kim is getting ready to pick it up at verse number 14. And we'll just go ahead and read down through 24, and then we'll come back and highlight and capture some things.
Okay, the fourth chapter of Joshua, verse 14. That day the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel. And they stood in awe of him all the days of his life, just as they had stood in awe of Moses. Then the Lord said to Joshua, command the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant law to come up out of the Jordan. So Joshua commanded the priest, come up out of the Jordan. And the priest came up out of the river carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. No sooner had they set their feet on dry ground than the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and ran at flood stage as before. On the 10th day of the first month, the people went up from the Jordan and camped at Gilgal on the eastern border of Jericho. And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, in the future, when your descendants ask their parents, what do these stones mean? Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until they had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea, when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the people of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God.
Okay, okay. That's powerful, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And so I think part of the title for this fourth chapter talks about consecration. Then it also talks about crossing, and it talks about these memorial stones.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, part of what we are charged with as interpreters and really discerning what God is saying is not allow this just to be something that happened in Joshua's day, but know that the same God who was with Joshua, who was with Moses, that same God is with us.
Mm-hmm.
And the same God who parted the Red Sea and now he's parting the Jordan, he's able to part seas in our own lives. It might not be actual seas. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
But we have some things that we are up against on the regular that have to be parted in order for us to really get the victory that God has for us on the other side of it. It may be an illness, it may be a financial woe, and that can look be like a Jordan River to somebody when they're facing tragedy in their home or death in their family. That can be an overwhelming situation. And just as the children of Israel followed the mandate and followed the proper protocol and were disciplined, and so it is with us if we expect God to bring us through whatever it is we're faced with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So whatever obstacle there is, that's our Jordan River or our Red Sea.
That's right.
The obstacles that we face. And
that's
God
right.
is able to move them out of the way or make a path for us to
that's
go
it.
Through
right.
and not be harmed.
Right, right.
And I think that going through, you know, going through that obstacle
right.
is what's key. You know, a lot of times we want to bypass our pain. We want to bypass our tragedies. We want to bypass the obstacles that we come against in life. But God wants us to trust him and go through to the other side because he's promised he would carry us through.
That's right. He said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. And I think many times people get right to the edge of what looks like a disastrous situation and they become timid and they become afraid and fear begins to overwhelm them. But the word of the Lord already reminds us that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so we have to trust God even when we are right at the brink of getting ready to go through the situation that seems like it's impassable. Impassable.
It's so scary.
It is.
Those Red Seas and Jordan Rivers can look overwhelming, like they're going to overflow or overtake you. But God has promised that he will see you through. He'll roll back the waters. He'll roll back those obstacles so you can make it through to the other side safely.
That's right. That's right. And that's somebody's testimony, because the other thing here in this particular passage, and we're in the fourth chapter of Joshua. Lady Kim has already read all 24 of those verses. But the other thing that's very interesting here, he says, now when people ask you about what these stones mean, then we need you to keep the record alive, and it has to be a part of a point of reflection. But not only a point of reflection, it has to be a part of your testimony, because others are coming behind us, just like the people here in our text. It was a reminder of the awesomeness of God and what God is able to do, and it points them toward trusting him even with their situations. If they are a little timid and a little frustrated and a little nervous about what it looks like for them, that's the point of us sharing what God has done for us and how that same God, if he did it back then, he'll do it again.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And it's clear too, Brother Martez said God is bigger than everything. We must trust God at all times. That's absolutely correct. And when you talk about setting up the memorial, that's why things like the Civil Rights Museum is so important, because that is a memorial to us of a time where we faced great obstacles as a people, as African American people, and we can look back on that and see how far and how God brought us through that situation.
Right.
And a lot of people, young people, discount that. If you have not taken your children or your grandchildren to the Civil Rights Museum or other museums or the Slave Haven and things like that to remind them just how far we've come. See, as black people, we forget to rehearse our history.
Okay.
And because we don't know our history, you know, we're doomed to make some awful, tragic mistakes.
And repeat.
You know, and we are a people, a proud people. We come from Egypt, from kings and queens. We're a proud people, and now we have young people who don't understand where we've come from, how far God has brought us. But the memorials are there.
Right.
But we just have to teach our children. And that's what I like about the Jewish people. They rehearse this every year. They go back over. They go back through their history during the Passover. And they never let from one generation to the next, they never let them forget from whence they've come or how God brought them over.
That's right. That's right. And so we have a personal responsibility as well as a corporate responsibility as a people to keep the story fresh and alive, and to use that as a point of a conversation and reflection, so that those who are coming behind us will have such a zeal for it that they will be willing to share. And even when God moves on their behalf, they too will have something that they can add to the story.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. So that's part of it. So this memorial, Lady Kim, as you just indicated, is a place of reflection, and it's also a place that we ought not ever forget. All of us ought to have something in our memory bank about what God did for us when we were really at our wits' end and we were going through, we were struggling, and it didn't seem like we were going to make it out.
Mm-hmm.
And that we were faced with the Jordan River or Red Sea in front of us, and just didn't make sense to go back because we knew that from whence we've come, where we are now is much better. And so don't forget to share that story. Don't forget to remember what the Lord has done. Allow that to be etched in your spirit and teach it to your children. Even if you don't have children, teach it to your surrogate children. Teach it and share your testimony in the worship experience or when you have an opportunity in your small groups, because you never know who might be going through something similar. Mm-hmm. And see, a lot of times when we come through, we forget to go back and tell what the Lord has done for us. And there are a lot of people on the sidelines that need to hear that story. And it might not just be the person that you think ought to hear it, but God wants you to keep that testimony alive and well.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's right. That's good.
Okay. Anything else you want to share there? Lady Kim,
well, there was one comment from Dr. Q. She said, memorials keep us woke.
Okay. All right. Well, that's we kind of getting wrapping that up pretty quick there.
Yeah.
What does it say in the notes there in terms of a handle that we can hang on to as we wrestle with this whole process of consecration, crossing, and memorial stones? I think it's right there.
It's the lesson for us is that stones help us remember, just as they help the people of Israel remember the Lord's provisions. How the Lord provides for us or has provided for us.
Okay.
And that the Lord will continue to provide for us, but the key is we have to be obedient.
Obedience. That's right. That keeps coming back, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
And so they were responsible. They were clear in terms of their direction and their assignment. They understood their assignment. And so they did not lose sight of that. They were open for change to happen. Mm-hmm. And it went from a high situation to a dry situation.
Yeah.
But they followed the
instructions. I like that, from a high situation to a dry situation.
Yeah. And they followed the mandate and they were obedient. And they had courage and they were willing to step out on their faith even when they did not understand what the final outcome would be.
Mm-hmm.
And another interesting thing that happened, Lady Kim, those who were bearers of the ark, the elders who were carrying, the priests who were carrying the ark, they were still in that place where the water had parted. And Joshua finally instructed them after the people had came across for them to come out. You know, they were still there.
Mm-hmm.
And God told Joshua, tell the priest, come on up, bring the ark, you know, and come on out as we prepare to remember what has happened in this place.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And what happened, you know, there was a procedure that had to be followed. Mm-hmm. Remember when we talked about that obedience?
That's right.
When the priest first stepped into the water, stepped off the bank into the Jordan, the priest had to go first with the Ark of the Covenant.
That's right.
And as they went, the water started to part.
Mm-hmm.
And when they got in the middle of the Jordan, they were to stand still. And that's when the people had to stay like about 1,000 yards behind the Ark.
Mm-hmm. Social distancing.
That was the first social distancing.
Know,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And the priest stood in the middle of the Jordan until the Israelites crossed over.
Mm-hmm.
And the 12 chosen men from each tribe, they gathered the stones from the middle of the Jordan.
From the middle.
You know, and then they carried them across, you know, as that monument. And then the men with, after all the Israelites had passed over, after they had collected those stones for that memorial and they had passed over the Jordan, then the priests with the Ark of the Covenant continued on their way. And as soon as their feet hit the bank, the waters again for the Jordan River overflowed. flow back into the river.
Yeah.
That was an awesome sight.
Yeah.
But you know what that lets me know?
What?
That as soon as we're across on safe ground, that God will just, you know, whatever it was that was plaguing us, whatever obstacle, mm-hmm. we can look back and see that we made it over to the other side safely.
This quote says that God brings us out that he might bring us in.
Mm.
And so we can't forget. We can't lose sight of the fact that God is the one who's brought us through danger, seen and unseen. And we have a right, we have a reason, and we have a responsibility to share what the Lord has done. So never, ever forget what God has done for you. And I don't know what kind of memorial you may have set up or what kind of thing that you have put in your mind and in your spirit as a place of remembrance. But all of us ought to have a sacred remembrance of what God did for us. And we know beyond a shadow of a doubt it was not another person. It was not a money matter that made us get out of what we were in. But it was nobody but God. It was the hand of God that brought us through that situation. And God held back the hand of the enemy so that you might be where you are today. And it's not accidental or coincidental that you are hearing this particular message. And it's probably a point of remembrance for some that they have to go back and just like those lepers. There were nine that was cleansed and only one came back. Mm-hmm. There were nine that were healed.
Mm-hmm.
Only one came back. And so we've got to make sure that we're in the company of the one that's going to come back and tell God, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And use that as a testimony of what God has done. Sometimes people don't want to talk about how they were delivered from drugs, mm-hmm. or how they were drug addicts and how they were strung out and how they were homeless and how they didn't have a place to call home. But all of that is a part of the memory of reflection that God wants you to use to help win somebody else and help win somebody for the cause of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Brother Martez says we must keep our testimonies alive because we never know how many souls we can win to God just by sharing.
That's right.
How God always provides and how we must obey him and keep him first at all times. Amen.
That's powerful, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Thank you, Brother Martez, for sharing. And for each of you who are on the call, and God is bigger than everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he said earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to understand that he has given us a name that's above every other name. And we've got to use, we've got to access the authority that we have in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And understand that no weapon that's formed against us shall be able to prosper. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. So continue to look to the hills from whence cometh your help. That's all scripture, because all of our help comes from
all
the Lord.
Of our help.
And in him we do live, move, and have our being. And without him, we are nothing and can do nothing.
Amen.
And so you've got to praise God. You've got to testify. I believe those testimonies, Lady Kim, will carry you through mm-hmm. a lot of the difficult times. Because when you look back and you think of what God has done, even when you're faced with a present day situation, it gives you a sense of confidence and boldness, knowing that if God brought you out of that, surely he can bring you out of this. If he did it back then, he'll do it again.
Amen.
And so that's a word of encouragement for somebody tonight. I don't know your struggle. I don't know your pain. But I do know a God who's able to bring you through whatever it is you're faced with. And you've got to trust him, even when you can't trace him. Even when it doesn't look like he's present. He is our present help in our hour of need.
Amen.
And so we got to believe that and receive that tonight and just continue to trust God. Don't grow weary in well-doing. For the word says, in due season, you shall reap if you faint not. Who am I talking to tonight? The Lord is trying to get you up out of that situation. And I just feel a breakthrough and a release happening
Amen.
In somebody's life tonight, Lady Kim. And they probably didn't even want to come on tonight. But I believe that's a word of encouragement, a word that's going to give them the strength that they need to continue to press toward that mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen. One of the disadvantages we have, though, we have our other platform, the streaming side,
right,
and we can't see or receive comments from the streaming side. But a couple of people have texted me already and just said, I'm on, we can hear loud and clear.
Okay.
But, you know, I really wish we could see those, see comments or hear what the people on the streaming side have to say. Mm-hmm. But we want to thank those that are on our streaming side for being with us each and every
week.
You know, sometimes we forget to acknowledge you only because we, you know, we're paying attention to what's on the Facebook Live feed and respond to that. But we feel your presence.
That's right.
We
That's
feel
right.
your presence, and we thank you for being there. What a mighty God we serve. That's right. Thank you, Lord. Sister Laretha said, what a mighty God we serve.
That's right. That's right.
God is gooder than good.
Absolutely.
Better than best.
That's right. Trust him.
Trust him.
And he will make a way.
Somehow.
He's an on-time God.
Yes, he is. Uh-oh.
Yes, he is.
We started something.
He may not come when you want him to.
But he's always.
He's always.
Right on time.
All right, now.
If you have some prayer requests or a praise report, hey, put it in the chat. We want to pray with you. We want to rejoice with you. So put it in the chat, and we will mention all of our prayer requests in just a moment. Brother Martez says, God will not allow us to go through any situation alone, good or bad. He will never put more on us than we can bear. As he looks back on his many situations in the past, he learned God is always there. He's seen him make ways out of no way so many times. God is God that sticketh closer than anybody.
Wow.
Amen.
That's good. That's
yes,
good.
Lord.
Is that Dr. Qualis? And she's going to sing this Sunday with that?
No,
what does
she
that
didn't
say?
Say that.
Oh, okay. I know the pastor was telling us that.
Yeah, that she sang over
right,
there at
right.
Trinity. What? I was like, what?
Who? Who?
No.
So we're looking.
Get a Chris Paxton.
We're looking forward to that solo coming up between now and the first Sunday. Dr. Qualis, you got a comment now. I'm waiting on you to comment. We're getting ready to close. That's a yes or no answer. That's a yes answer. That's not yes or no.
That's a be obedient answer.
That's right. That's right.
If you have prayer requests, please put them in the chat. We do have a couple of prayer requests we want to lift up. We want to lift up Dr. Carolyn Butler and her family in the sudden loss of her daughter-in-law,
yeah.
Ashley Butler, in Illinois. And so the funeral arrangements, I have not heard yet what they will be, but we will let our ATOP family know. And also lift up our niece, Sister Darlene Cleveland, in the loss of her aunt. That funeral was this past Saturday in New York. And so we just thank God for the life of Sister Pearline Holloway, who transitioned to be with the Lord. But lift up Sister Darlene Cleveland and the rest of her family that was on her mother's side.
So
we just lift up that family in prayer.
Okay. All right. Any other requests coming in?
No requests so far.
Okay. All right. Well, we're closing out a little earlier tonight. Any reminders? We've already mentioned about our service this coming Sunday. And we're still in anniversary celebration mode, and we're looking forward to a great time in the Lord this coming Sunday as we prepare to close out this month-long celebration.
Amen. We have another prayer request for Mariah Jones and her strength and healing.
Okay.
So we lift up Mariah Jones to the Lord on tonight.
All right. All right. Well, Lady Kim, will you prepare to close us out then with a word of prayer?
Amen. Let us pray. God, we thank you for tonight. We thank you that as a reminder, we know that you are the stone in which we build our lives. And we thank you today, God, that you are a stone of strength, that you are a stone of conviction, that you are a stone of promise. We thank you, oh God, that as we stand on the rock called Jesus Christ, we know that you will never fail us.
Thank you, God.
God, we lift up the prayer concerns tonight. We lift up the health of Sister Mariah Jones. We ask that you would touch her body and heal her
right now, God, in the
name of Jesus. God, touch all the others that are on our sick and shut-in list and heal their bodies as well. We lift up the bereaved to you, Sister Darlene and Sister Dr. Carolyn Butler. We lift them up to you, God. We ask that you would comfort their grieving hearts and spirits. Let them know, oh God, that you are with them and that you will never leave them nor forsake them, because your word promises that you will be with them.
Thank you, God.
Always, even until the end.
Till the end.
Thank you, Lord. God, we love you tonight. We ask, oh God, that you would continue, God, to go before us, oh God, as we look to the hills from which cometh our help. We know all of our help comes from you, no matter what situation that we're in, God. Sometimes it looks like we have a Red Sea in front of us, or a Jordan River.
Thank you, God.
In front of us, an impossible situation in front of us. But God, you said you would make a way out of no way.
Yes,
God. So we thank you, God, for parting our Red Seas and our Jordan River so that we can walk across on dry land and be unscathed, oh God. And then when we look back, we don't know how we made it, God, but we know that you were with us all the way, pushing us through. So we thank you tonight, God. We bless you. We love you. We honor you. We ask, oh God, as we end on tonight, that you continue to go with us until we're able to meet together as a family, church family again. We love you. We bless you. We honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, and praise God. All right. Thank each of you for being on tonight. And don't forget now, next week we'll be in the fifth chapter of Joshua. Go ahead and read ahead. And go back and rehearse the study from tonight so it'll be fresh in your spirit, even as we have closed out our time of fasting and praying the 20-day fast. Thank God for each of you who are able to participate and be a part of that as well. And we look forward to seeing all of you on Sunday. Hope that everyone could come out this Sunday as we prepare to close out our final Sunday. Pastor Marquise McPherson in the New Bethel Baptist Church right here in Memphis. They'll be our special guest at our 9:45 worship experience. And so we're looking for all of the members of ATOP to be present.
Amen. See you guys on Sunday. Bless you.
Be blessed.
Bye-bye.